So if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. If you need a Bible, put your hand in the air like you do care, and we'll walk you one down. If not, we got it for you on the screens. If you're online joining us, welcome online family. My name's Hayden, and I have the joy of being the senior pastor here at Walk. And let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 21. I do see a hand here, so if we can just, one of our leaders can walk a Bible down, they're on the way. Let's go, let's go, let's go. If you're there, say I'm there. If you're ready, say I'm ready. If you're hungry, say let's eat. Well, Heavenly Father, as we prepare to eat from your word now, we do ask that you would calm our hearts and our minds and feed us your word. God, we know man doesn't live off bread alone, but every word that flows from the mouth of God. So Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Just pray that prayer with me. Just say, Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, we're on Palm Sunday, Matthew chapter 21. I want you to put yourself in the story. Use your imagination. Try to put yourself in the text, and let's see Jesus move on this day. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, and now Jesus is about to quote the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, right here. He says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Verse 10, when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So this is the word of the Lord here today. Amen. This is a Palm Sunday account. Mark, Luke, and John all have a unique telling of this, but there's some things that I want us to look at here in Matthew's record of Palm Sunday that I'd like for us to pull out and that I believe would speak to us here today. As I was working on this message, I simply titled it. In fact, I got two titles for my message today, but the first one is this: pressure couldn't stop him. Amen. Pressure couldn't stop Jesus, so don't let it stop you. My second title is a little bit simpler, and here's the title: I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Hey, would you just do me a favor? Preach this title to the person next to you. Just look at them and say, hey. No, for real, you got to say, hey. Tell them, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way, right? Jesus here in Palm Sunday, he's showing us, he's declaring us, I'm on my way. I'm going somewhere, and he is the unstoppable God. Where is he on his way to? Well, we know that, as we look backwards, Jesus is on his way to the cross. This introduction to Holy Week leads to a crucified Christ, but wouldn't stop there. This same Messiah would rise from the grave after being buried and would rise from the dead. As we focus in on this subject, I really want to talk about a topic that I think everybody in the room and online can relate to. In some capacity, you'll know what I'm talking about when I say this word. It's the word timing. In fact, let me go ahead and call it God's timing, right? God is an on-time God. And can anybody attest to that? Sometimes he might not be on your time, but he's always on time. He is always, always, always on time. God moves in seasons, and he always has a reason. That was a good rhyme right there, right? And he's an on-time God. If you notice in Jesus's life, there's oftentimes where he'll use phrases like, it's not my hour yet, or my time has not yet come. In fact, in John chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus is in a predicament as he's at a wedding feast and all the good wine has ran out. And Jesus' mother, Mary, asked Jesus to do a miracle and provide a new batch of wine for the guests at the feast. And Jesus has this rephrase. He says, my time has not yet come, right? And I think Jesus knew that in that moment, right? If he were to do such a miracle in such a spectacular way, it could lead to an uproar of, who is this? And everything could be changed in that moment where the center of spotlight would be on him. So Jesus, even in a discreet way, still does the miracle. In John chapter 7, verse 30, we find another moment where crowds are pressing in on Jesus and some sought to arrest him. But the scripture says nobody laid a hand on him because it was not his time. The next chapter, John 8, verse 20, a similar moment happens where people are pressing in, crowds are coming. Not everybody's a fan of Jesus' teaching. Some thought to take him away, but yet they didn't because it was not his hour. Another verse, John chapter 13, verse 1, is an interesting passage. It's right around the time that we're teaching from here today. Let's look at 13, verse 1. It says, now, before the feast of the Passover, which is right around the time frame that we're in, Holy Week, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Help me, church, say that with me. He loved them to the end. Aren't you grateful that Jesus doesn't hit the eject button when life gets hard? That Jesus is willing to go the distance when it comes to life and challenge and timing. Here the text teaches us that he recognized this was his hour. He knew that now's the time to depart and go to the Father. And in the meantime, he loved his own till the end. He's an on-time God. I recently read through the book of Ecclesiastes just in my own devotional reading. And can I just tell you, the book of Ecclesiastes is an awesome book in the Old Testament, and it's also a very depressing book, all right? If you're ever like going through a struggle and you need somebody to relate, just read Ecclesiastes and Solomon will probably make you feel better about your life, all right? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon gives some instruction on the Lord's timing. Here's what he says in verse 1. Let's look at it. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Amen? The thing I wanted us to catch from that is for everything, there is a season. If you're going through life right now and you're like, you know what? I don't know why, Pastor Hayden, but there's this cloud above me and it's just raining and I feel like I go to sleep rained on and I wake back up and it's still there. I'm just here to tell you, I just want to prophetically declare, it's not always going to be like that. You're in a season right now, but for everything, there is a season. And I'm grateful that there's summer. Amen. Well, in Vegas, it gets hot, right? But I'm grateful that around the corner is the fall, and then there's winter, and then there's spring, and I just want you to know your season, because for everything, there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven. In fact, he continues, let's jump all the way down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, there's a time to love, there's a time to hate. There's a time for war, and a time for peace. Amen? What's Solomon getting at here? He's saying, you got to know what time it is. Don't be operating on a clock that's not accurate. You want to get on God's time. Time to love. Don't let your love grow cold. That's something we looked at last week. A time to hate. Well, we should hate sin. Amen? Right? The things that are trying to destroy us and hinder God's activity in our lives. We should have a hatred for those things. A time for war and a time for peace. Jesus on Palm Sunday is declaring that it's time. And I want to look at just a couple of the verses right up front that we notice what time it is for him. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. He will send them at once. I think what's interesting about these first two verses is that I want you to imagine this moment. Jesus selects some of his disciples. He takes these two and he says, hey, here's what time it is. We're going to Jerusalem. I want you to go into the city and find a donkey that has never been sat on, because only a king could sit on an animal that had never been touched, never been sat on. So that was intentional of the Lord Jesus. And if anybody gives you a hard time, well, Jesus, what, we're just supposed to grab some random person's donkey? What if they're like, hey, stop, what should we tell him? Jesus says, tell him the Lord sent you. I love that phrase right there. Jesus tells his disciples, if anybody says anything to you, here's what you say, the Lord needs them. And they'll be like, you got it, fam, all right? Jesus, up until this point, he has, in a way, been trying to quiet the evangelistic zeal of people around them. Here he's saying, tell them the Lord sent you. This is one of the powerful moments where Jesus affirms and declares his lordship. He's now stepping into a moment that's less concealed. It's a whole lot more revealed. Tell them that the Lord needs them and he'll send them at once. Hey, shout out to the donkey, right? He must have felt really important. This donkey's like, hey, I got to carry the king. Amen, right? But listen, it's not about a donkey here. It's about the one who's on him. And Jesus rides in on this donkey and he is declaring a whole lot on this first ever Palm Sunday. I want us to go look at it in the phrase of a few points here today. The first one that I want us to notice is this. The praise of man couldn't stop him. The praise of man couldn't stop Jesus. Now, that might be an interesting point, but I want to go somewhere with it. I think that praise is an interesting topic that could totally throw somebody off when it comes to their assignment. Jesus here is a Messiah on a mission. He knows that it's Sunday, but on Friday, he'd be hanging from a cross. He knows that the following Sunday, he'd be rising from the grave. It is now that time. He's a man on mission. And something about praise could dilute your mission if you're not careful. As Jesus rides in on the donkey, what do we see? Well, we see that people begin to pull out branches, and many would think that these were palm branches as a symbol of praise, as a symbol of worship. Look at verses 8 and 9 with me. As we look at Matthew 21, it says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. So they took their jackets, their cloaks and coats. They began to spread them off on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting out. What were they shouting? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, this is a refrain of praise. And their praise was loud. They were shouting this out. They were calling him the Son of David, this messianic term. And I love how Jesus is riding in and he's unmoved by the praise. He welcomes it, but he also knows what's in man's heart. That this praise wouldn't distract him from his mission. And there's nothing like praise that can test the heart of man. I was reading in this proverb earlier. We can look at it up here on the screen. A proverb that just gets into this subject says it like this. Proverbs 27, verse 1. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold. A man is tested by his praise. You might be following Jesus. You might be going after it and trusting in the Lord. Let somebody give you a little bit of attention and a little bit of praise and see how you pass that test, right? Jesus, I love in this case, he passes it fine. I wonder while he is maneuvering through the crowd, and he always maneuvers slowly, doesn't he? We never have an account where Jesus is running, but he's patient. He's taking his time as he moves. I wonder if people in the crowd were thinking, we're here for this parade to welcome the king. We've cut down branches. We're shouting out Hosanna, but this is a little anticlimactic. That's the king? Notice in Matthew 21, they say, who is this? Are you sure you got the right guy? I think many people in the crowd, when they knew that the king was on his way, they probably had a visual, a picture that probably looked more like this image right here. Come on. Shout out to Aladdin, right? Who comes in and he's got the parade following, the dancers, the trumpets are blowing. he's on top of the elephant, but this would have been a more accurate picture of a king coming in to take over, to save. That many people would have thought, hey, where's the elephant? And maybe Jesus could have potentially thought, you know what? That might have been a better move. I kind of like this praise. He's had three tough years of ministry, and yet here in this moment, he's riding in on a donkey. Isn't it interesting that Jesus chose the slowest animal and the lowest animal to come in and declare his kingship? Amen? I think that's teaching us something about the Messiah. I think many people thought, hey, this parade's kind of weak. Where's the elephant? Or maybe some people thought Jesus should ride in more like, let's say, Mel Gibson in Braveheart. Come on, right? Thought, hey, where's the black stallion? Where's the face paint? Where's the I'm coming to take over energy? And yet Jesus is unmoved by the praise. Mind you, I don't endorse or condone any of the movies up here on the screen, so don't send me an email, please. But I think that people were thinking maybe Jesus would come in like this, ready to rule and reign. Or maybe they thought he would be more like King Arthur, and he would come in on the horse, yeah, I'm prepared for war. But if you notice, Jesus doesn't have that posture. And the praise of man is not slowing him down nor speeding him up, and yet he is just fine. People were calling and claiming, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, but the praises didn't detract Jesus or stop him, yet he continues to press in on his donkey, amen? The second thing that we see here in the text is not only did the praise not stop him, but the pressure of man couldn't stop him. I think that there was a lot of pressure in this moment. On this first Palm Sunday, there's pressure from the crowd to do something that maybe they intended Jesus to do, but he didn't intend to do at this moment. I do think that the crowd got it right as they cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. What does the phrase Hosanna mean? The word Hosanna, by definition, means save us, O Lord. In fact, they quoted Psalm 118, this Psalm of David, as they were in the crowd. Let's look at the Psalm, Psalm 118, verse 25 and 26. Save us, we pray, O Lord. That is the actual phrase Hosanna right there. So they're saying, save us, we pray, O Lord. Or Lord, we pray, give us success. Hosanna, Hosanna. Do it now, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Feel the anxiousness, feel the intensity. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Save us. Now listen, here's what I want you to catch. The Israelites and the people in Jerusalem at that time were living under the rulership and reign of the Roman guard that was making very bad and cruel and wicked decisions. So people like Herod and Pontius Pilate and Caesar were all ruling and reigning in God's holy land. And so the people of Israel are expecting God to send a Moses-like figure who steps up and says, let my people go. And we want to see a sea open up. And we want to see life change. Save us now, oh Hosanna. And there's pressure to do that, right? But Jesus is saying, I'm going to save, but not how you think I am. You guys want me to go climb up into the office of Herod and take over, but I'm really trying to save him from his sins. Jesus is the Savior, but not quite how people thought he would. And so the pressure of man didn't stop Jesus, but it also didn't speed Jesus or slow Jesus. Here's what I put in the reality statement. I want you to write this down. If you're taking notes or if you're screenshotting, take this down. Don't let anyone speed you up. Don't let anyone slow you down. If you're operating on his time, you're right on time. Amen? Can somebody clap for that right there? Look, listen, I might not be on your time, but I'm on his time. If I'm on his time, I'm going to be on time. I think that the disciples and Jesus maybe could have felt this pressure. Hey, let's change our course. People want us to save now. Oh, Hosanna. Oh, Hosanna, come and save. But yet Jesus shows a humility in his approach by choosing a donkey. He's not moving fast, is he? He's not coming in with a giddy up. In fact, he's moving slow. He came to save. Notice the words of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. I want us to see it on display. Here's what the prophet Zechariah wrote hundreds of years before Jesus would ever ride in on that donkey. Here's what he wrote. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you." Now that's good news right there. That's king talk, amen? Jesus is declaring his lordship and kingship on Palm Sunday. But how is he coming? Righteous and having salvation is he humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus is fulfilling the messianic prophecies that are on his life in this moment, and I don't think the people caught it. He came to bring salvation, but not quite like they thought. What's the posture of Jesus? He's a humble, confident king, amen? I think that we, if we want to just grab a page out of Jesus's book, how should our posture be as the church? You know what our posture should be? We should be humble yet confident. We shouldn't be a pushover because we love Jesus. We should be confident in who Jesus is. And yet at the same time, we shouldn't be arrogant or boastful, but rather humble and meek. Amen? Jesus had an essence of meekness. I know who I am, but I don't have to show off. Right? I think tempted in all those ways, but didn't ever give in. I love this quote from Charles Stanley as he writes on the Palm Sunday topic. He says, "Palm Sunday teaches us the importance of humility and servanthood. As we follow Christ's example of riding on a donkey, choosing the path of meekness over worldly glory." Now, I wouldn't even have been mad at Jesus if he thought, you know what, this isn't bad. Let me get one of those grapes, right? This isn't his posture. He's riding in slow, he's scanning the crowds, and he's not moved by people's praise nor by people's pressure. They wanted him to change the script, but Jesus wasn't slowed nor was he sped up. I'm also thinking of a moment in Jesus' ministry where he stopped by his disciple Peter right around this moment, just a few chapters before. Look at this with me, Matthew 16, verse 22 through 23. It says, "And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." Now, rule number one, Peter, don't rebuke Jesus. Come on, amen? But Peter was shooting his shot here. "Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.'" Jesus was telling them what he was about to do. "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" Put him on blast real quick, right? "You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Jesus is saying, "You're trying to slow me down. Get behind me, Satan. You might have to look at one of your closest homies, like Jesus did with Peter, and say, that's not coming from God. That's trying to distract me. But listen, we have an unstoppable God, amen? And I'm not going to let the pressure from man speed me up or slow me down." He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're trying to change the mission, and that's not going to happen." You know, I had this moment this past week. I coach a 10 and under basketball team. Shout out to my squad and all of the gray hairs that they give me every single week. Them kids be stressing me out, respectfully and out of love. But this past week, I got with our team. And you know what? I decided to do something radical. I tried to introduce plays. So I even pulled them aside on Monday and I said, "Okay, we're going to introduce some plays, you guys." "What are plays?" "I'm about to explain it." I get the clipboard out. We start doing some X's and O's. "We're going to call this a play. When you come down, call the play. You go here, you go here. Guards go here. You're on the wings. This is called a wing. These are called blocks. You're going to call the play when you come down." So we introduced a new play. The next day we introduced another play. We ended up having four plays. And I quizzed them on the plays. They memorized the plays. We worked on the plays every single day of the week. I told their parents, "Help them memorize the plays. We need to know the plays." Now listen, church, hear me. Yesterday, we got to the game. The tip-off happened. Kid caught the ball. And the moment a little defense came up, forgot all the plays. The moment there was a little bit of pressure, all of a sudden we sped up and lost our minds. I had to call a timeout. I said, "Guys, what happened to the plays?" Like, "Man, yo, the defense came," and we were like, "Whoa." Listen to me, church. Just hear me for a second. Look. You can come in here on Sunday, and you can get all the plays. You can get all the word. You can lift your hands and worship. You can say, I got it. I'm ready. But the minute you step out that door and you feel some pressure, don't forget the plays. When the enemy turns the dial up and says, right when they leave this parking lot, I'm going to tempt them. I'm going to cause an accident. I'm going to try to mess with their food. The waitress is going to be slow and nasty. Don't forget the plays when you feel pressure. Remember the plays. Amen. Remember what Jesus called you to. Stay on mission. Stay locked in. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look up and say, okay, you know what? He's enough. He's on time. I'm not going to be sped up by the pressure. I'm not going to be slowed down by the pressure. I'm just going to press on ahead like Jesus on Palm Sunday. Amen. He didn't give in and he didn't give up, but he modeled something different. Here's a reality statement if you're writing this down. Don't let the pressure from the world, the flesh, the spiritual opposition stop you from doing what God has called you to do. Come on, amen. Let's leave it up for a second. Some people are taking some snapshots. Put it on your phone. Make it a screensaver. You might get that text message. This might be behind the text message. You might be like, what's that say again? Look, don't let the pressure stop you from doing what God's called you to do. Jesus knew this is the Father's plan for my life. And not only that, Jesus was in agreement with that plan. He said, I lay my life down for my sheep and I raise it back up and nothing will stop me. Amen. He's the unstoppable God. Amen. I'm going to clap with you, Sierra. Praise God for that. Run the plays. Trust him in that. Jesus came to save, but maybe not quite how the people thought he would. And sometimes I think we can also get in on our own timeline and say, Jesus, we want you to do this now. And Jesus might say, you're not ready for that right now. Like sometimes you might say, Jesus, I'm ready for the bigger house, but you're not stewarding your current house. Or maybe you're like, Jesus, I'm ready for the bigger, faster car, but you still got last week's McDonald's fries sitting in the back seat. Right? I know that feeling. And so Jesus is saying, hey, how about you steward this season? How about you maximize what God's, listen, everything you need, you already have. Because Jireh will make sure that you have what you need. He is an on-time God. I love this proverb. If I can quote from the book of Proverbs one more time, always speaking to me. Proverbs 20, verse 21 says it like this. An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end. God, I don't want to get it too soon. I just want to get it when it's right. Because I want all the blessing that follows whatever you have for me. I don't have to rush your plan. I don't have to take things into my own hands. I just got to stay on the donkey. I just got to move at his pace. And I just got to trust that he is in control. And isn't he? Doesn't he know that Palm Sunday had to happen to get to Easter Sunday? He's on his way. This verse has been a blessing to me in our own journey, Walk Church. We have been on this journey of building a future home, a location for Walk, a beautiful building for the past 5 years. And sometimes what I cling to is this. Lord, for whatever reason, you are moving slower on this process than I would like, that maybe our church would like, that maybe our setup and teardown team would like. Can I get an amen from somebody? However, we know that you're on time. We don't want to get it hastily. We just want to trust your timing and your process. So I really feel like the title of this message is true. We're on the way. And we'll get there when we get there. And in the meantime, we can't let anything stop us from what God's called us to do. Amen? Can't stop, won't stop. Amen? Let me go ahead and move into the third and final point as we get ready to close this message. The praise of man couldn't stop Jesus. The pressure from man couldn't stop Jesus. And finally, the pain of man couldn't stop Jesus. I have to imagine that this Savior, being the all-knowing, all-powerful, in-control God, as he moved through the crowd in Jerusalem, had that X-ray vision to like scan people, like be able to learn all this person's name, birth, story, secret sins. He knew that a lot of these people that were there on Sunday praising him would also be back on Friday persecuting him. Jesus is realizing Hey, you're not who you say you are. At one moment, you're saying, praise him, Hosanna in the highest. But in 5 days from now, they're going to be also out there around the same area and territory saying, crucify him. I mean, even in a radical moment from Matthew 21 to Matthew 26, what happened? I'll tell you who didn't change: Jesus. In fact, they bring Jesus in front of the crowd in Jerusalem. They put up Jesus and they put up Barabbas, a well-known notorious criminal in the land. And they say, which one would you rather have? Mind you, Jesus has done nothing wrong, they say. And the crowd, in a vicious attack, says, we want Barabbas over King Jesus. But it couldn't stop him. Amen. It had to cause pain. In fact, Jesus goes right from the area in Jerusalem on the donkey. He rides right up into the temple. And what does he do in the temple? He makes a quick whip and starts turning over tables. And he says, you have made my father's house a den of thieves, because people were using the places and spaces of the Lord for their own personal gain. It had to cause him pain, but the pain couldn't stop him. Listen, as you walk with Jesus, pain will happen, especially if you deal with people, because people can be painful. Can I get an amen from somebody? Even some of the people closest to you. It happened to Jesus. Jesus says, so what do you expect to happen to you? But listen, don't let pain stop you. Don't let praise stop you. Don't let pressure stop you. Be encouraged that he is still in control. I like how Billy Graham wrote on the topic of Palm Sunday. The great revivalist Billy Graham says, may we greet Jesus with open hearts and minds, laying down our desires at his feet as the crowds did with palm branches, signifying his triumphal entry into our lives. If we can learn anything from the Palm Sunday account, it's this: let us have the same posture of the crowd today to lay down our burdens, lay down our gifts, lay down our lives at the feet of King Jesus and let him in. Amen. Welcome him and his timing and his grace and his salvation. He less came to save with hands. He more so came to save your heart. Amen. Could Jesus have stopped Pontius Pilate and Herod and all of the stuff going on? He could have easily done that. Could he have called down fire from heaven like the disciples asked him to do? Absolutely. But what did Jesus do when Peter chopped off Malchus' ear? He picked it up and put it back on. Can you believe that? Just miraculously said, hey, hold on a second. While everybody's warring and brawling and sword, Jesus very slowly goes, and I just imagine Malchus just being there like, whoa. And Jesus is on time. He's on his way. Amen. And let's let him in. Let's let him rule and reign as the king he is on Palm Sunday and every day for his glory and your good. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, the opposition is out there. Sometimes the opposition is in here. But yet, Lord, we won't let that distract us from what you've called us to run, the race, the journey, the joy. And so, Lord, as we respond now, I pray nothing would stop you from moving in this room. In church, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I want to invite you to pray with me. In all of our services today, there's been people who have came in the room far from God, seeking, searching, maybe not knowing what their relationship with God was actually like. Maybe today you would say, if you died in this moment, you're not sure what your eternity would look like, but Jesus came to save. He came to save you from your sins. That's true salvation. So if you've never received him, if you've never believed in his name as Savior and Lord, I just want to invite you and extend that invitation to you right now to do that. Receive the free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus. If you're here and this is relating to you and you're ready to pray this prayer with me, you're ready to surrender and let it go, would you just lift your hand with all heads bowed, all eyes closed? Would you just lift your hand? That's you. God, I thank you for people in the room willing to surrender, willing to repent, and willing to receive. Keep your hand up. And Jesus, I pray right now for those with their hands up, would you just encourage their hearts, encourage their souls that they are loved children of the King and that you've come to save. And right now with your hand up, would you just pray this prayer with me? And let this these words of this prayer be the faith of your heart. Just say, Lord, I believe in you and I receive you today as my Savior, as my King, as my Lord. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to stay locked in every day of my life. And when I fall, pick me back up. I love you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.